Our scripture this morning comes towards the end of the Gospel of Matthew, after Jesus was arrested in the garden. We'll be reading from Matthew 26, verses 57 through 68. And it's not a pretty picture, but I invite you to listen for words of hope, words that stand out for you. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, in whose house the scribes and the elders had gathered. But Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and going inside, he sat with the guards in order to see how this would end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days.'" The high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has blasphemed. Why do we need witnesses? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?" They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spat in his face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who is it that struck you?" Thus ends the reading of our scripture. Certainly unsettling words as we move toward Lent and toward the cross and Easter. Any words or phrases that stood out for you? I'll give you a word in just a minute. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Did you know that Jesus was dirty? Have you ever thought about that? Now, it's not what we like to think, is it? We like to think of Jesus as pure and holy, without sin or blemish. Think about it. Even born in a stable and laid in a manger, we remember him wrapped in freshly laundered swaddling clothes, don't we? Sure, there were farm animals present, but surely they were freshly groomed. They surely didn't smell like the feedlots you drive by in eastern Colorado or Kansas. We like to remember, too, Jesus washing his disciples' feet. He must have been fastidious in his cleanliness, we think. We know he walked on water, so surely he could walk across mud without sinking in. And then on that mountaintop, when Jesus was transfigured, we're told that his face shone like the sun and his clothes became white as the light, standing in the presence of Moses and Elijah. Everything was holy and shiny and pure and clean. Of course, Jesus was the Son of God. Of course, he was clean. But in our scripture today, We read about Jesus on trial before the Sanhedrin following his arrest. We know that he will soon go before Pilate, where he will be flogged, a crown of thorns placed on his head. He will be mocked, beaten, spit on again before being crucified upon that Roman instrument of torture, humiliation, and death, the cross. Now, I guess I'm a little slow. I know that Jesus died a horrible death on the cross, and before that he was beaten and humiliated, tortured even before the cross. But you know, I'm struck by the words in our scripture. Then they spit in his face and struck him with their fists. They spit in his face. They made my Jesus, who is pristinely clean and holy in my mind, dirty. They spit in his face. I just have trouble with that image. It makes me think of a college trip to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, standing on the shore of one of the most beautiful places on earth. And I was the one, without a hat on, to have the one pesky seagull poop on my head. Now that's just natural for a bird, but I felt so dirty, humiliated in that situation. I hated it for me in that situation, and I hate it for Jesus that the religious leaders spat in his face. How humiliating, not just for Jesus, but for me too. My Lord Jesus, they spit in his face. But Jesus did spit on others. Well, not exactly the same. But we're told in Mark's gospel that Jesus healed a deaf and dumb man by putting his fingers in the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. And the man's ears were open, and his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. And then in the Gospel of John, we're told of Jesus healing a blind man at the pool of Siloam, where he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes, and had him washed in the pool of Siloam. The man came home seeing. Ew. Does this bother anyone else? As we approach Easter this year, especially as we enter the season of Lent this next month, I want to look at some of the difficult teachings, actions, and habits of Jesus, even before he was arrested, beaten, and spat upon. Oh yes, and then crucified on the cross. Poll question: how many others have trouble thinking of Jesus as dirty? A few. It's not our norm, is it? Why do we have trouble thinking of Jesus as dirty in any way? But he lived a long time ago, before they had anything like indoor plumbing, sidewalks, and paved streets. We're told that he walked most everywhere that he went, and riding that donkey into Jerusalem, that couldn't have been clean. And those boat rides with his disciples, those were fishing boats. They didn't have high-powered hoses like Lamar's boats to clean all the guts and scales off the deck. And then there were animals everywhere. And they all wore sandals or went barefoot. They were constantly stepping into something. That was the point of Jesus only washing the disciples' feet at that Last Supper. And you know, the cities of Jesus' time had open sewers running down the streets. People dug holes and used chamber pots for their human waste. Okay, I do have a point here. Jesus was human. Jesus was human. But what difference does that make? I think Paul best articulates the importance of Jesus' humanity in his letter to the Philippians, a favorite scripture of mine that I want to share with you. Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, other translations use the word slave rather than servant, and I think that makes a stronger image of how far Jesus fell for our sake. Falling. You can relate to the image of falling, right? Jesus fell from the highest realms of heaven, from the furthest distance from earth, to the lowest level of humanity, of creaturehood. Animals were often more valuable than a slave. Jesus humbled himself to the lowest possible place imaginable. They spit in his face. They spit in his face. That really hits home for me. But why did Jesus do this? Because he loves us. He loves you. God loves you. For some reason, God not only created us humans, but picture the creation story in the garden. God created humanity and then loved them. We think of Eve providing companionship for Adam, but Adam and Eve provided companionship for God. We're told that God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. They were in relationship, a very special relationship. Now, God gave humanity the vocation of king, or next to king, or ruler of the garden, although the meaning shepherd was shepherd or steward or caretaker of creation. Created in God's image, humanity brought God's divine love to earth, to the lowest creature, to the dirt that we're made of. Now, of course, humanity was supposed to bring the love, gratitude, and praise back to God, helping all creation to give God glory by simply being the best and healthiest version of what God created it to be. That goes for humans, grasshoppers, even slugs and cockroaches. We know that humanity didn't hold up our part of the bargain. So in God's infinite loving kindness through Jesus, God came to the lowest place imaginable in order to renew his right relationship with humanity and with all of creation. A poor, helpless baby in a manger wasn't enough. Putting up with stumbling, bumbling disciples wasn't enough. Being tempted, persecuted, arrested, tortured, put on a cross, and spit upon wasn't enough. only dying for our sin was enough. It seems that Jesus didn't consider anything that God made to be too insignificant, too far beneath him, too dirty for him to love, to heal, to care for. Of course, Jesus was fulfilling the vocation that we were supposed to do, that we are supposed to do. Jesus taught us, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So if Jesus would do all of that for us, for the least of these, for all of creation, why can't we even get our hands dirty? Why do we have trouble coming to church to serve others first? Why can't we let someone else get in front of us in line, or on the highway, or at school, or on the job? Why do we struggle to welcome the homeless person, or the refugee, or the Muslim, or the black person, or the LGBTQ plus person? Why can't we give an hour or two a week to help someone with a learning disability, or a handicap, or a language barrier? Why can't we admit that the other political party gets some things right? Why can't we pick up someone else's trash? Why can't we forgive 7 times a day, as Jesus said, or even once? Jesus was spit upon for you. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you to give you a second chance. He was spit upon for you and for me. What are you willing to do for him? Now, we're just a couple of weeks away as we prepare for our Visioning into Action retreat, March 15th and 16th. We might all ask, what inconveniences are you or me willing to endure for Jesus? Will you pray with me? Oh God, we are human. We come to worship you, our God mighty and strong and all-knowing, all-loving. But we're human, and we need your help. We thank you that you gather us together, not to become God, but to be in relationship with you, to accept you as our God, to guide us, to give us the strength, the wisdom, the knowledge, the love that we need to follow Jesus as we are called. Jesus was willing to endure everything for us. We thank you, O God, and we pray in his name. Amen.